Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back into the Treasure Chest Casino special edition of Sports Talk. We call it our weekend kickoff. Getting ready for Saints football on Sunday. Preseason game number 2 will be right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. A noon kickoff for you. Taking a break from a little bit of our football talk for now, as we've got author Adam Lazarus on the line talking about his new book, The Wingmen, The Unlikely, Unusual, Unbreakable Friendship Between John Glenn and Ted Williams. Man, Adam, thanks so much for the time. So intrigued just by the title. Appreciate you giving us some time today, though.
Well, thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Adam, it's Mike, and I got to read through the book. And we live in a world today where if you don't think how I think or how I talk, then we're not friends. And you think about John Glenn and Ted Williams, that could not be two guys as opposite as what they are. Now, they were patriots in their own way. And you think about both of them served in World War II and in Korea. But to have Ted Williams and wingman for John Glenn, that's an unbelievable story. And so well done. I got to compliment you. You did a great job on the book.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's an amazing story that I knew a lot about both Glenn and Williams. I'm a big baseball history buff, so I knew a ton about Ted Williams, and I'm from Ohio, actually, so I knew a lot about John Glenn growing up, and I had never heard about this interaction, and when I learned about it, I thought it was interesting, and I started reading more, and after a while, it became clear to me that this was a book.
Ted Williams was such a quick-tempered guy. I mean, and he would snap, and he didn't have a great relationship, even in baseball, with writers or fans, even Boston fans. He sort of would want to stick him the middle finger. John Glenn wanted to get along with everybody, you know, all the time. And, again, it's so unusual to see how they were able to have this friendship, not only in Korea, but, you know, 40, 50 years after the fact.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they served together in a war. And by served together in a war, I mean, you know, 10,000 feet in the air in communist North Korea, dropping bombs, having enemy planes shoot at you. I think that will develop a bond and a friendship pretty quickly. So that's where the friendship started. But I think, as you mentioned, it continued years later. I think that friendship from the war is something that united them, but I think they also were really found the other guy pretty interesting and unusual. You know, Glenn, I don't think ever came across anybody quite like Ted Williams.
No.
And had a tremendous amount of respect for Ted Williams. Everybody who was serving in Korea in that base and that unit knew that Williams was making $100,000 a year as a professional ball player, probably the biggest athlete in America at the time, and they stopped doing that to go serve in their country in war. And I think Glenn had a great amount of respect for that. And conversely, Williams had a tremendous amount of respect for Glenn. He could see that this was a leader and a patriot and a tough brave man who would eventually go on to do amazing things with the NASA program and as a military pilot and as a United States senator. So I think there was just an oodles of mutual respect for one another.
What's so kind of weird about it all is how that interconnection, you know, and what you brought about, how war kind of brings you together. My dad served in World War II. He was on the USS Munda. And who was on that boat with him? Joe DiMaggio's brother, Dom DiMaggio, who was an all-star infielder for the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. And at first, my dad was, I can't believe, you know, he's here with us here. You know, because you think about it, maybe those guys, you know, they stay stateside. But, you know, he was on that carrier basically bringing supplies to the different vessels out in the Pacific. And he was like, he was just like us. Now, he was more of a cut-up than any of the other guys there. But it does go to show you how that connection sort of lasted so long when finally, you know, the internet was up and you had emails, and my dad would talk about he wanted to email because he had the email address for Dom DiMaggio. And, you know, and they would talk as though, you know, they had seen each other yesterday. And it's so funny, that bond that you talk about that was there between Glenn and Williams, and even though their politics and everything else was total opposites of one another, that they were able to make it work. But tell maybe a story in the book that you liked about how they sort of had each other's back as the wingmen.
You mean like in service in Korea or
years
later?
Yes, correct.
Well, in Korea, Ted Williams, this is always something that I point to when I'm talking about how their friendship started. The first mission they flew together, Ted Williams did something that John Glenn thought was going to get him court-martialed. He basically he shot into an area that he had gotten turned around in the air, and Williams kind of lost track of where he was. And they shot into an area that Glenn thought was actually allied, you know, American troops. Turns out it wasn't, but Glenn basically freaked out, and they rushed back to base, and he chewed Williams out on the runway. And it turns out they found out later that was an area that had been abandoned, and it wasn't. They didn't shoot into allied troops. But I think that's always the best story about how their friendship started. And then they had several other missions. There was one mission where Williams' plane was flying high, and they came down and bombed an area, and this bomb exploded, and it blew up all this rock and chunks of dirt and ground, and it blew a hole in Ted Williams' fuel tank, and it basically caught the plane on fire. And Ted Williams was really had to not so much crash land as what they call dead sticking. He had to bring the plane into base with the plane on fire, and John Glenn was the person who sort of guided him back to base. So that's, again, one of those episodes where I think it helped build their friendship, having served together in such a harrowing couple episodes.
One of the guys that did Sports Talk before Steve and I were here was Buddy DiLiberto, and Buddy was a writer for Stars and Stripes, and he was in Korea. And so someone had set it up that he would get to interview Ted Williams. Mm-hmm. Well, just so happens, Williams was on a fighter mission and came down, and Buddy had told me the story. You could see where he had been hit. The plane had been hit with gunfire, and he lets it down. And so the guy goes up to Williams and says, hey, Ted, you know, go inside, kind of cool off, but you got to do this interview with Stars and Stripes. But he said, man, I couldn't even repeat the stuff Williams was screaming back at him. But you going to ask me after this to go do an interview? And so finally he calmed Williams down enough. And Williams had to go to the bathroom where Buddy was sitting at this little table waiting. He said, the first time he passed me up, comes out of the bathroom. He said, hey, kid, where are you from? And he said, New Orleans. And he said, you know Mel Parnell? And he was like, yes, I do. And so he said, that gave me the in to get in with Williams. We started talking, and John Wayne had done was doing a movie that was loosely based on Ted Williams' life. So, Buddy asked him, how does it feel to have, I mean, come on, John Wayne, at that time, the biggest movie star in the world, is doing a story that's sort of based off of your life. And he said, you know, Williams just sat back in that chair and said, well, why don't you go to Hollywood and talk to that fake actor, John Wayne, and ask him how it feels to play me. And he said, yeah. End of interview. But he said, that was Ted. That was the way he said.
A lot of people would say to Ted Williams, you know, you sound like John Wayne. You're doing a John Wayne impression. And he would bristle at that, and he would say, John Wayne's doing a Ted Williams impression.
Yeah. And Buddy said, man, he was hot.
You tell that story about Williams coming back from a mission and having to do an interview and being, you know, pretty unhappy about it. There was a mission. He came back. He crash-landed. He really nearly died. He gets out of the plane and that's on fire, he's running away from this fiery wreck, and he, right as he's doing that, he runs into a colonel or a general, someone in the Air Force, someone high ranking, and the first thing this high officer asked him for was his autograph.
And I can believe it, because, you know, you think about Williams at that time, it was him and DiMaggio that really, they were the stars in where baseball was king. It really was at that time. College football was much more looked at, you know, in the higher realm than pro football at that time. But Ted, to think about what he did in the majors and serving in both World War II and Korea, and, you know, people always are like, what kind of numbers could he have put up had he not had that service time?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, he missed three full seasons from World War II, and he missed pretty much two full seasons in 1952 and 1953 to serving in Korea. So, you know, you're talking about maybe 180, 200 home runs, probably close to 1,000 base hits. That's always the big what if, the mystery. Could he have gotten Boston a World Series?
Yeah.
How many more batting titles? How many more MVPs? Maybe more Triple Crowns? But I think in some ways with Ted Williams, it's almost those 5 years, that question mark adds to his legacy.
Yes, I agree.
You know, nobody says that about Willie Mays or some of those other players who were, you know, icons. They didn't serve 5 years in the war as serving their country. So I think that adds to his legacy of this mythical Paul Bunyan kind of figure.
After the Korean War, now Glenn becomes part of the original Mercury astronauts. He's the first American to circle the Earth, and then he becomes a senator. Give us a little bit about the connection between Williams and Glenn at that time, because now Glenn has eclipsed him, you know, in the star ranking. You know, when you were a Mercury astronaut and you were the first American to circle the Earth, no, you become bigger than life, and then he becomes a United States senator. And, you know, and Ted was a big-time pitchman now for Sears, where Ted made a lot of money doing that. So tell us about their friendship afterwards.
Yeah, you're right that Glenn did somehow become a bigger figure than Williams. You know, Williams was an American icon for sports, but worldwide people knew John Glenn. His daughter told me a story that once they were years after the NASA missions, they were in this remote village in Africa, and they still knew who John Glenn was. I don't think people there would have known who Ted Williams was. But you're right, they kind of lived those years in the 60s and the 70s. They lived very separate lives. I don't think they saw very much of each other. They exchanged some letters and things like that. And when Ted Williams was managing the Washington Senators in the early 70s and John Glenn was beginning his political career, they had dinner here and there. But I don't think they really spent a lot of time together, saw each other a lot, because they were both just so busy with these other episodes of, you know, Ted Williams championing Sears and managing baseball and John Glenn and NASA and beginning in the Senate. It wasn't until sort of they began, Ted Williams sort of retired from public life, retired from baseball, that I think their friendship kind of reconnected when John Glenn was getting a little bit older, too. It's this episode in the 80s where they see each other at Ted Williams' 70th birthday party, and then Ted Williams becomes one of Glenn's stops along the way when he goes down to Cape Canaveral to start training for going back to space in 1998. So it's a strange relationship that they didn't spend some weekends barbecuing in the backyard going on family trips together, you know, neighbors seeing each other every other day or whatever. They could go long periods of time without seeing each other, but I think that's what sort of speaks to their relationship and the bond they had, which John Glenn later called sort of an unspoken bond, that they could still be in and out of each other's lives so much, and when they got back together, it was sort of just like old times.
Yeah, it is funny because I think we all have friends like that. We maybe don't see them for a while, and then we catch up, and it's like you saw them 2 days ago. And mm-hmm. It's funny how that's part of the book also, being both together on that base and understanding what the Korean War was all about. How quickly was the bonding between the two of them? Because I think that's a big part of the story here. You got to trust your wingman. I mean, come on. You got to trust that guy immensely, and how that formed really that friendship that lasted until their dying days.
You're right. I mean, absolutely true that that Williams had to trust Glenn and that he had to follow him wherever he went. John Glenn was a very difficult person to be a wingman for. He took a lot of chances in the air. He made a lot of runs at the same targets, which really wasn't what a lot of those guys did, especially the guys who were reservists and didn't have a lot of experience. They would come in and make their run, drop their bombs, and sort of get the hell out of there. That wasn't what John Glenn wanted to do. John Glenn was there in some ways to sort of win the war all by himself. He would go in and take two, three, four runs at the same target, and it was Ted Williams' job to follow him. That's what a wingman does. So he had to trust Glenn that Glenn wasn't going to get him killed. And it was Williams' job to follow Glenn around. Glenn had to trust him that he had his back and was keeping an eye out for enemy targets or people on the ground. So that, you're right, that certainly developed their bond early, and that this trust, this inherent trust, probably an unspoken trust. I don't think they talked a lot about the dangers they flew through. You know, I don't know how much they actually acknowledged it when they were on the base. I think they were there to do a job, and that was what their focus was. But years later, that was the thing they talked about. I'm struck a lot by this story I read about when Ted Williams was really dying. He was out in California and San Diego recovering from a 10-hour heart procedure that really, you know, hastened his death in a way. And this is about 2001. One of the people who came to visit him out in San Diego was John Glenn, and he sat beside his hospital bed, and they just talked old. They get on the phone after that, you know, when Williams was back in Florida recovering, and they'd get on the phone and talk about their old days serving in Korea. And so that sort of speaks to that trust and that bond that they had that lasted pretty much half a century.
I don't know if you got into it, and I don't remember this part of the book. Was Williams surprised about what Glenn accomplished in, you know, being a Mercury astronaut and doing what he did and being such a huge part of the space program, which really captivated America? You think about in the 60s, you think about a lot of different things. But on top of that list, real early, is the space program. And when you think about that, John Glenn's name comes up real quickly.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, I've said this in a lot of interviews and things I've done for the book. I think if you were going to make a Mount Rushmore of Americans who were not presidents, who did not make it to the White House, John Glenn would be on that Mount Rushmore for all the things he did for his country, tireless service for roughly 70 years of his life. And I think Williams was often quick to point out his friendship with John Glenn. He often said, the first time I met him, I saw him across the room in this briefing room when they were in Korea, and I knew right away that what he said was he had the right stuff, because, you know, the right stuff had come out already. That was years later. But I think Williams recognized that there was something special in him, if not from just seeing him across the room, then certainly when they flew missions together. And there are accounts of Ted Williams talking about John Glenn right after he went to space in the first time in 1962. And they interviewed people who knew Williams, and they said that the Boston Red Sox scouts and players he had been around during spring training after he retired in 1960 and 1961. And he would say that he kept talking about this guy that he was in Korea with, and this guy was going to be an astronaut and he was going to space, and he was always talking about how great he was. And the phrase he used often was that Glenn was cool as a cucumber in the air, and that was going to serve him well in NASA in those Mercury missions. And so I think maybe Williams didn't know that he would be the first American to orbit the Earth, but I think he knew that there was something really special about this guy.
Adam, I highly recommend the book. It's at bookstores now. You can also order it at Amazon.com. Unbelievably great read about two guys, and as you put out, who's a non-president, would be on the Mount Rushmore with John Glenn. My grandfather, he was the biggest Yankees fan in the world. But the one guy he would tip the cap to, Ted Williams. He said, I'm just telling you, greatest hitter that's ever picked up a baseball bat. And for him to say that, after he gushed about Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle and DiMaggio and Gehrig, I knew Ted Williams was special when I was a young kid.
Yeah, I agree with your grandfather. Even today, and all the people who've come after him and all the people who came before him, I don't think there's a great case for anyone besides Ted Williams as the greatest hitter in baseball history.
Nobody will hit 400 again. Not in my lifetime, no. Adam. I can put it to you that way.
In anybody's lifetime.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for the time, Adam. Definitely appreciate it. Everyone, check out that book, The Wingmen. I know you got some other novels out there, too, dealing with football and even golf.
Yes. If anybody wants to go to my website, AdamLazarusBooks.com, you can go there, order the book, read about the book. And I appreciate you guys for having me on.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it, bud.
Take care.
Adam Lazarus joining us here on Sports Talk. We're going to take a break. When we get back, get into a little more football talk, specifically college football talk. ESPN senior college football writer Chris Lowe returns with us. We're here at the Treasure Chest Casino, hanging out till 7 o'clock. You can join us at the Game Bar and Grill. We'll be back with more of Sports Talk right after this on WW.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes, and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
WL. We're back here at the Treasure Chest Casino at the Game Bar and Grill. You can sign off on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line 504-260-1870. We're going to hit that line right now. Who's on?
It's Patrick.
Patrick on the line. Want to talk to Mike Dottillier, Steve Geller. How you doing, Patrick?
I'm doing great, guys. Always good to hear from you. And Mike Dottillier has the best accent in all of radio, unquestionably. The man.
Thank you, brother.
He sounds like he's from down there at home of Thibodeau, down in the bottom.
Yeah, I sure am. I still live there, too.
I love it. Mike, I have a question for you regarding a legendary NFL and college player who I'm sure you know and may have certain recollections of. Ray Guy, who is arguably considered the greatest punter of all time in both college and pro. I believe he was drafted out of Southern Miss in 1972 by the Oakland Raiders. Did the Saints ever consider drafting him? Was that ever discussed? Could you like provide any insight on that draft?
Al Davis picked him in round one.
Wow.
First round. He was the first kicker to ever be selected, and Ray was a punter. He would kick off. He played defensive back. He played wide receiver.
In the first round after that?
Yeah. Okay. Janikowski.
Oh, that's right.
Janikowski went in round one, and the Saints picked Russell Erslavin in round one from Texas.
Yowza.
He was sort of lousy.
79, right?
Yeah, 79. Yeah, he wasn't very good. Man, Ray Guy, he is the gold standard of punting. And he used to have a camp every year, and these guys were in awe because, if you go into his camp, that's what you're doing. You're a punter. They were, and Ray had told me the hardest thing about it was to get them to snap out of it. Okay, I'm a human being like you. I'm going to show you how to kick. Now, like you said, not a lot of them could do like him. Ray Guy had the longest hang time I've ever seen on a punter. It was unbelievable. And it got to the point where there were some teams accused him of putting helium in the football. It was just Ray popped it, and it would go straight up in the air. He was an unbelievable athlete, also pitched at Southern Miss because of being a first-round pick. And no one thought any team would use a first-round pick on a kind of what you want to call
specialist.
I don't think anybody else had him in round one. And Al Davis he's the one of the biggest weapons I ever selected. And God bless the voters. They finally got it right and put him in Pro Football's Hall of Fame. Best punter I've ever seen in my life. In today's world, he would still be the gold standard. He was that good. And it's a different world of punting today than it was back then. But I've never seen a guy with hang time like what Ray Guy did. And he was also a terrific kickoff guy. So, man, I think the world of Ray, God bless him, he was some kind of athlete and just one of those guys in the 70s that always sort of, you say, on that team with the Raiders with so many stars, with Kenny Stabler and Biletnikoff and Branch and that defense and Jack Tatum and everybody else, who stood out really? And now Stabler was who he was, but man, Ray Guy, one of one, greatest punter I've ever seen.
Thanks for the call, Patrick. Definitely appreciate it. Taking a break here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Inside the Game Bar and Grill, if you want to stop by. Right now, we'll be coming back with more of Sports Talk. Just stay tuned right after this on WWL Saints.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Radio.
Welcome back into Sports Talk here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Mike Dottiglie, Steve Geller hanging out with you. You talking real quick, Mike, about the punters a little bit last segment. That's something with the Saints, too, bringing it back to the black and gold here. Big question is who's going to end up being the Saints punter. We know it's going to be a rookie, and it's looking like it's going to be an SEC guy, too.
Well, yeah, that we got that figured out pretty well.
Right, exactly.
Both of them are from the SEC. I asked this to Bob, who's holding for groupie? And he said, Burnapiers, bingo.
Ding, 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 right.
So I think he's got the insider edge on it, but I would not rule. I mean, he didn't set the world afire watching him punt.
Right.
And so kid from South Carolina's got a shot there. And it may be something this team kind of got to look around. They have not really filled that position since Mr. Morstead left.
Yeah,
and he's still
doing it
in San Francisco now.
Yeah, it's an unbelievable career he's had. And I know we were talking about, draft selection. I know Sean Payton got a ton of flack for that.
Oh, boy, did we hear it that day. And our draft coverage is different than what it was back then. And so the Saints trade up to get Morstead. Now, this is before text lines. And, man,
Twitter,
the callers came in. It were like, what is Sean Payton doing? This makes no sense. And on and on. He wasn't the best punter and all this and that. So Bobby tells me, get in touch with June, because June Jones
SMU,
was
right.
Coaching at SMU. And so we had him on the Monday after the draft. But before he got on, he told me he's the best punter I've ever had as a college or pro coach. So when I told it to Bobby, oh, he might have just told you that.
Right, just blowing smoke.
But we asked him on air, exact same thing. He sure turned out to be one hell of a punter for this football team.
And
he's part of a Super Bowl winning team. He played a big part in that onside kick, which had never worked in practice, had not worked, and boom. You hit it.
Yeah, that unbelievable, and that's pretty funny you mentioned that with the Super Bowl. Morstead, the only active player, obviously, from
that's
that roster still around.
That's it. So the one thing I always tell him when I see him is, I know you're collecting checks. And he was like, hey, don't jinx me.
Going to check out our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. We got Phil waiting to talk to us. Phil, thanks a lot for hanging on. What you got?
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
All right,
doing
Phil.
Great.
Real quick, I wasn't calling reference to punter, but it's funny y'all talking about Morstead. I watched some highlights of the Super Bowl, And you know, the if the rules was in place today, the kickoff rules, ambush right. wouldn't have never happened.
That's correct. You'd have had to tell them. You'd have had to yep. tell them it's an onside kick.
And that's why I think they need to figure out some way to come back to that, because that's a great strategy part, you know.
Hey, Phil, yeah. you got no argument with me on that. I think they screwed the pooch with that yeah. onside kick stuff. Right. I really do. Well, I think you should be able to do it and don't have to tip off your opponent that you're going to do it. But, okay, they want to put all right. this in place. And I get it for safety. I get that particular right. part. Special teams, man, these guys take some wicked hits out there. But right. on an onside kick, right. to me, that you should be open, that you don't have to tell the opponent that you're doing it.
Right. And, well, Mike, I was calling. I hear the same kind of a receiver from, I think, SMU.
Yes, he put up some nice numbers at SMU, but all those receivers there, because they throw the ball so damn much. Smaller receiver, undersized guy, has played a lot in the slot, quick. He's got a burst after the catch, good hands. But, you know, I thought this team would probably try to get a big receiver. You know, that's something that's missing. But somebody in the scouting department here kind of banged the table to sign him. Because when you sign a guy this late in the gig, somebody is behind that in the scouting department. But I really thought they would sign a bigger receiver, to be honest with you. But he was a very productive receiver at SMU, played in the slot, short, quick passes. That's what SMU does. That's what he does best. And he's good after the catch.
Right. And have any of the guys out on, you know, Bobby, any other guys report to it? Was he at practice today? Will we see him this weekend or what? Do you know?
That I don't know. Okay. Man, that's a short turnaround, because today was the last practice. So okay. them to come back, you know, but who knows in today's world? They may do him like they did Torricelli. Hey, kid, get out there and play, yep. and let's see what you can do. But with very little practice time, or if any, I would think he's a guy they're going to take a much longer look at next week in the practice sessions. Thank you, Phil. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that wide receiver room, going to be interesting how things shake out, Mike, because
they don't have a big man receiver.
That, and yet, even for the preseason game on Sunday, I don't know how much run you're going to want to put with Chris Olave or Rashid Shaheed.
I'd put none. I'm going to tell you right now, as thin as it is,
Bubble
I wouldn't give
them
none, no time. Okay, they got that time today.
Yeah.
And,
no,
and
you're
working,
right.
You know, going up against the Rams. So my thing is, man, practice is for the unskilled. Give that to the young kids and let them get out there and show what they can do out on as about as close a regular season game as some of them will ever get. Come on, you got to prove it in the preseason.
Taking a break here at the Treasure Chest Casino as Sports Talk gets ready to wrap things up. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on WWL. Welcome back into Treasure Chest Casino's weekend kickoff coverage here at the Game Bar and Grill. Me and Mike D'Attilier wrapping things up as we get ready for preseason game number 2 for the Black and Gold Sunday in the Caesars Superdome, taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. A lot of things to improve upon from that first preseason matchup against the Chargers, Mike. What are just some of the little key nuggets you're looking for in this matchup against the Jags you'd like to see the Black and Gold get better in?
Okay. Penalties, you got to slow that down. You can't have all these penalties and put your quarterback in a 3rd-and-11, 3rd-and-13 situation constantly. The other thing, too, is you got to find the ability to run the ball. Okay, and Bob talked about it today. They can't run it. They cannot run the football at all. So, man, that would be concerning to me, that you've had little to no success if it's been in practice. And if it's been, you know, when you go up against a team like the Rams,
oh, you're right.
That you can't run the football. So those are two things. Also, a little bit more consistency. And you got to understand, you're playing a lot of young guys. Game one, you a little bit nervine, so to speak. Okay, you got the nerves. Okay, you got to calm down now and just get out there and play. And I think Deuce put it best. Hey, just let it wing. You've been doing this all your life. Know your assignments.
Yeah, get out ahead.
And just go and play. Defensively, I thought overall they played pretty well, other than, and you gave up some big runs to Trey Lance. Now, it was no game plan. And come on, Trey Lance can run the ball better than he can throw it.
Yeah.
I've seen Trey Lance long enough to figure that one out real quick on him.
Well, that's a wrap here for our second edition of our weekend kickoff at the Treasure Chest Casino. Want to thank everybody for giving us a hand. Luke Augusta, Coleman, Mike D'Attelier, Steve Geller. Have a great night, everybody. Talk to you on tomorrow. Who dat?
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.